This is episode number 195.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. I don't know. Do I have to tell everybody about this? That this is another edition of the RV Podcast? I kind of do this little open every week, 195 weeks in a row, but as we always say, no matter what kind of an RV you have, you're welcome here. This is not brand specific. It is for every RVer, whether it's in a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday. This podcast is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So, welcome. We're honored you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, it is no secret that the RV industry is on a tear. Record sales continue, and every month, thousands of new RVers are hitting the roads. But where will they all stay? That is the question. Sad fact of the matter is there are just not enough campsites to keep pace with the growth in RV sales. And many of the existing campgrounds out there are kind of like tin can slums. They're poorly kept up. Now, fortunately, all that is about to change. As people have been spending money buying RVs, developers have taken notice, and across North America, they are building out new, modern, state-of-the-art campgrounds that sometimes more resemble those all-inclusive vacation spots than empty fields with electric pedestals. In this week's podcast, we're going to talk to one of those developers who's going to tell us about the upcoming boom in RV resorts. Plus, we have lots of RV news, RV tips. We've got your questions, our answers. We've got traveling technology advice and a great off-the-beaten-path report. But first of all, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
We should tell everybody that as we progress in this podcast and you hear stuff where we're sharing resources or places, you'll hear us often say you can find more information about that in the show notes. And the show notes are kind of a detailed outline of everything we talk about here. It's not a transcript. People keep asking us all the time to do a transcript.
No, thank you, sir.
You don't want to.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that either. We could hire somebody to do it, but
then we got to have another advertiser.
Either that, or we could do that Patreon account we keep talking about. I talked about that in our live report the other day about Patreon, whether we should set one up, and I said that I felt like I'd be begging, but you want a transcript? We may have to set one of those up because.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it either. It's hard enough just saying the words. I don't want to write them down. But anyway, you hear us talk about our show notes, and our show notes are kind of the outline that we use to produce the podcast. And all the resources, the websites, the links that we talk about are listed there. I might forget one every now and then, but most of them are there. And you can find them. You just go to the weblog that we use, which is roadtrekking.com, and then you put that /, and then the number of the episode. This one is 195, so it'd be roadtrekking.com/195. Then you'd see our show notes. Just scroll down. You'll see a little time at each segment, and if you click on that time in the show notes, it'll take you to the audio portion and where we discuss that, and then it's also where you'll find the links.
I bet you've forgotten that when we used to shoot videos and you had me log the videos, and I would write down all those words, but where I really had fun was you allowed me to pick out what was said in the video. That was great fun.
We would, we freelanced for years and years and years. We did freelance television all over the country.
World.
All over the world, yeah. We would go to places like, we went to Jamaica in a weekend, didn't we? You call it?
The green blur.
It was just a green blur. We went from one end to the other working on a couple of stories.
Although you gotta clarify this. You worked all week, and then we traveled.
Yeah,
on
and this
weekends.
Was what we did on our side time. So we
freelanced on weekends.
So we'd get an assignment to go to Jamaica for the weekend. We'd leave Friday night, and we would work all day Saturday and most of Sunday. But I had to be back at that time. I was working at a television station. The television station on Monday morning. So we would log in the car going to and from the airport, and on the airport, in the plane, coming back, and Jennifer would sit there with a set of headsets on and listen to every word that was said in the videos, and then make a transcript of them so that when it came time to edit, we could give the editor the right ins and outs and all that. So you don't want to do that again, huh?
No.
But we turned around. We had to get those videos done before I went back to the regular work world, or they'd never get done.
I know. And then we missed a couple absolutely wonderful trips because you couldn't get out of work for 3 weeks.
Yeah, we did. I think one was to Cuba.
I'm thinking Australia and New Zealand. And
Russia.
And the other one was China.
China. We missed that too because I couldn't get out for 3 weeks.
3 weeks was a long time.
Anyway, so every now and then people say, we want a transcript. And they say it kind of snidely. You know, I don't want to listen to it. I want to read it. Well, that's what they say. Kind of putting tone to it, but it comes across that way. And I would do a transcript. It's just that, you know, you'd have to hire somebody.
There's some technology that would do that.
There is. It's not very accurate. You have to go through and read it.
It's probably like your phone when it puts it on your computer, prints it out. Yeah, and then you're like, it's really quite amusing to read it.
Yeah, what was that?
And then try to figure out who called and what they said.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is. Yeah. And there's a bunch of people who do transcripts, but they couldn't work fast. So this is coming out on June 6th, right? This episode, 195.
3 p.m. Eastern time.
It is now 3 p.m. Eastern time, June 5th. And by the time I finish the edit and upload it, it will be 9 or 10 o'clock on June 5th. It goes live, you know, like in 8 hours from then. So I can't...
Oh, you whiner. Just stay up all night and write your transcript.
No, I'm not going to do a transcript. So anyway, we couldn't find a transcription service that would do it. And I'm not going to beg for money. And
I'm not doing it.
And she's not doing it, so... So the way you get is this outline, the show notes. That's as good as it's going to get. Well, anyway, we are busy packing. In fact, we had to stop packing to do this podcast. But although I'm going out to Best Buy, there's another camera I got to get.
I have to confess, I took a nap before.
I don't want to hear about it. I was finishing
Bo
up the show notes.
Bo and I took a nap.
Yep, you did. I came in and she and Bo were sprawled out on a bed taking a nap. Oh, well, you got a lot of packing to do. So we'll take off soon for our first really long trip of the summer. This is going to be several weeks. We're heading out to Glacier National Park in northern Montana. We have a road trekking gathering there starting in a little less than 2 weeks, about 110 people, if I'm guessing right when I looked at that roster, are going to be there. That's the largest we've ever done as a gathering, and it's going to be a zoo.
It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Yep, lots and lots of new people have never been at our gathering, and lots of great pictures
to
take.
And we better have name tags.
Yeah, we really should have some kind of name tag. No badges, but maybe name tags. So anyway, instead of rushing on this trip like we normally do, you know, we usually would say, okay, we got to be there Monday, let's leave Sunday, or let's leave Saturday and drive straight there. We're not going to do that. We're going to take 10 days or so to get out there. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to follow our 3:30 rule, which means quit by 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon or stop driving no more than 330 miles. Now, if you're a regular follower, you know Mike and I haven't been real successful at following our own rule, but this time we're going to promise, and to be accountable to that, we're going to post a video every day that we're traveling on our RV lifestyle channel on YouTube.
Yep. Now, I should point out we won't be traveling every day. We have a business meeting we have to do. I have to meet somebody, and we said, well, where are you going to be? And I said, well, we're heading west. So we're meeting actually in Fargo, North Dakota. We're doing a business meeting there. And we have a couple stories we want to shoot on the way out. Because unexpected things always arise, we don't plan to necessarily drive every single day, but every day that we're on the road, on the way out there at least, we will do our best to keep that 3:30 rule and to sort of do a vlog, a video blog report that shows what we did and where we went and all of that stuff.
Now, that, of course, depends on us leaving. Even though we travel in a Class B camper van, it takes forever to get packed and stocked. And Mike doesn't help with all of his camera and video gear and drone that take up all of our storage space. So if you're wondering just what we do to get ready on a long trip like this, check out our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube as well, because we're going to have a video coming out soon, I think Thursday, June 7th. Yeah. First thing in the morning, and it shows the various things we did to prepare for this trip.
Yep. So we're doing videos twice a week now, at least twice a week on our YouTube channel, which is, if you just go to RVLifestyleChannel.com, you'll get to it. We have a video that comes out every Thursday morning, and then every Sunday night, this is what we wanted to talk about. We're talking about a brand new series that we're doing. It's pretty cool. It's a live webcast, and we call it Ask Us Anything. And we go live, anything that has to do with RV travel, I should say that, the RV lifestyle. And I think we'll answer just about anything. So Ask Us Anything, and we go live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Well, this time it's Eastern Daylight Time, but it's Eastern Time every Sunday night. And it's really fun. We did our first one this past Sunday. You can see that over on the RV Lifestyle channel. And I couldn't believe all the questions we got. It was really fun. Lots of people had a lot of questions, so many questions. So we can't wait to do it again. And we're going to do it as best we can from the road. We will be on the road this Sunday night when we go on live with our second Ask Us Anything episode. And that's we're not sure where that'll be. Maybe the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, maybe northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, someplace there.
And we should point out that if we're in a really remote location and we do not have a robust internet connection, we won't be able to go live. But most of the time, we're just fine, and we anticipate being able to do the program most weeks. And by the way, Bo will not be accompanying us on this trip.
Shh, don't let him hear that.
We have a lot of work to do there and on our way there. And national parks are not very dog friendly. So Bo will be staying with our daughter and her family in Michigan.
Now, he doesn't know that yet. But yeah, that's going to be hard.
If we can pull away with him looking at the window, watching us leave.
He doesn't want to be kicked out of the island. But
yeah. Son-in-law's at work and daughter and granddaughters are at field day, and we're going to be leaving him in an empty house.
Yeah, that's going to be hard.
It will be hard.
For at least 2 miles. No, we miss Bo.
It will be hard.
And he is a lot of fun. And we'll be taking him, let's see, our next next gathering after that's in North Carolina, our Wild River rafting adventure. We're taking him on that. He'll be there.
Hopefully we can make arrangements for...
I think Bo has more fans than we do, so people are always upset when we don't bring Bo.
Right.
All right, that's what we're up to. Meantime, here's the RV news that you need to know about this week.
Officials at Utah's Zion National Park are studying plans to limit the number of daily visitors and require reservations to walk on popular trails after being overwhelmed Memorial Day weekend. A story out last week stated that 30,000 people visited Zion on Sunday alone, creating two-hour shuttle ride waits. When you take those shuttle buses, 2 hours to get that bus to take you where you wanted to go.
Mackerel.
Long lines on trails and overflowing trash cans. At Arches National Park, Memorial Day numbers were so overwhelming, rangers had to turn people away and tell them to come back later. About 4.5 million people visited Zion in 2017, making it one of the more popular parks in the country.
Now, we'll put a link to a story. I looked at the picture and you can see some of the traffic jams. But this is true of all of our national parks, it really is. And this idea of limiting daily visitors, you're going to see that. You're going to go and they say, sorry, no more visitors today. And they're going to require reservations to do a hike on popular trails. I mean, that's what they're all looking at doing to solve this crunch, because so many people are coming out there now. So we'll put a link to all that stuff that you can follow along so you know what's going to be happening. Hey, there's a real happy story I found. A Utah family whose dog ran away while they were camping found him last week. It's a 2-month search for Cooter, a little mini Aussie. They found him. He lost 16 pounds during his 2 months in the wilderness. He was malnourished. He was missing a couple teeth. He was covered with fleas and ticks. But boy, was Cooter thrilled to be home. A volunteer helped the owner find the missing pup, which got me thinking back to an interview we did with a pet detective. Remember that, Jennifer?
Yeah.
She offered some really valuable insight on how to keep your pets safe while camping and keep them from running away, because it happens a lot. And so we'll put a link to the story about Cooter and his reunion, and also a link to the podcast in which that pet detective gives you some pretty good hints. That's worth listening to if you're looking for something to do this week and if you travel with your pets, as about 70%, according to our survey, 70% of RVers travel with pets, predominantly dogs.
Federal officials are considering a plan to allow gas and oil development within a mile of Colorado's Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve. The plan is something environmentalists oppose, and the Environmental Protection Agency is urging officials from Bureau of Land Management to consider air quality concerns before making a final decision.
All right. Link to that more as well. More information on that in the show notes. Here's one. This is going to be fun. Everglades National Park. We've had a lot of stories about this. I've just been fascinated with. Now they're looking to hire about 120 paid snake hunters to go out there in the Everglades and find and kill Burmese pythons, who are really destroying the park's ecosystem. They're nearly wiping out bobcats, rabbits, other small mammals. That's how many of these Burmese pythons are out there now. This invasive species has been a problem for years. Park officials have tried all kinds of things to get them from bringing in python hunters from India. They did that last year using volunteers, having a snake hunting contest. Now they're going to look to hire about 120 snake hunters. They're going to vet each one of them, but they could go to work as early as July. If you are a good snake hunter, these snakes are pretty big. We'll put a link and you can apply. I really want to go down there and do a story on it. I know we'll be down in the Everglades in January, so maybe we can do one then, but that's going to be a great story. All right, one more story, Jennifer.
What do you got? All right, finally. All of Canada's national parks, historic sites, and marine conservation areas are offering a free day in 2018. And many of these dates are different, meaning it's possible to visit many for free with a little planning. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can find the dates and the parks that work best for you. Go to roadtrekking.com/195.
This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Campers Inn, the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years, the nation's largest family-operated dealership as well, with 19 RV locations and still growing, all offering rock-bottom deals on motorhomes and fifth wheels and RVs of all kinds. They're very proud to say they have 19 locations in the U.S., newest stores, Ocala, Florida, Ackworth, Georgia, Thornburg, Virginia. If you live near those, stop by. They'd love to see you. Campers Inn is nationally famous as home of the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. RVers across the nation know they can trust the quote they get from Campers Inn and not be surprised by any hidden upcharges and fees. They put it all there for you. The freight orientation detailing prep, you're not going to be surprised. Integrity pricing is what they're known for. They sell motorhomes, travel trailers, and more from the leading industry manufacturers like Tiffin, Grand Design, Coachman, Forest River, Thor, and they have some Campers Inn exclusives and some really neat little motorhomes, the Gulfstream Friendship and the Cruiser Embrace. Award-winning RV sales, award-winning service, hundreds of RVs at the best prices, a professional staff with years of RV knowledge, CampersInn.com. You tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
This week, I received an email from a listener named Donna who wanted to share a tip on an inexpensive item that she has found extremely handy. Donna writes, "Hi, Jennifer. I really enjoy listening to Mike's and your podcast. I have a tip of something I'd like to share with your listeners. It is about something I always try to keep stocked in the camper. A box of waterproof, disposable shower caps picked up at the dollar store. I know that sounds like a strange must-have camping item, but they are really super handy. I use them to cover up plates of food when my husband and I are eating outside and we need to make a few trips back and forth to get everything on the table. The plastic shower caps are the perfect size to cover a large bowl or our plates, and then I do not need to worry about flies or any other bugs getting at our food before we sit down. I also use shower caps over my sneakers when I need to run into the camper for a minute, but do not want to take the time to take off my shoes. I like to keep the floor clean and found that taking off our shoes at the door really helps. But when I just need to run in for a minute and do not want to take the time to untie and tie my shoes, the plastic shower caps are perfect. I just slip them over my feet, go inside, and slip them off, and there's no mess. My husband and I like to ride our bikes when we camp. I place a shower cap on each of our seats to keep them clean and dry when not in use. I have even used the shower caps as a rain cover. Sometimes we'll be out for a walk and I want to use my phone to take pictures, but it's raining. By putting the phone in the shower cap, everything stays dry and I can still take my pictures. I hope this idea can help someone. And thank you and Mike again for all you do." Well, thank you, Donna, for that tip. I never thought of using a plastic shower cap in so many ways, but those are all excellent ideas. I can see how the size, elastic, and waterproof plastic could be very handy. I looked online to see how much they cost and noticed the Dollar Tree sells an 8-pack of disposable shower caps for a dollar. Amazon also sells them. I found 100 clear, waterproof, and disposable shower caps selling for $6.99 at Amazon. I will put links and information on this idea in the show notes.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes now with free shipping. This week, I have heard from two different sets of listeners who have both bought his and her Rad Power Bikes after hearing us talk about them. David in Waco, Texas, he purchased them, loved them. He's got the same kind, I think, that we got. We have the city bike. I have it's kind of like a beach cruiser for the guy with the big crossbar. Jennifer has the step-through version of the city bike, which is like the girls. We used to call them girls' bikes. They don't have that crossbar. You got to throw your legs over. But everybody uses them now because they're just so easy to get on. David was one customer. We heard from another one on our YouTube channel who made a comment that they had just picked up a couple as well and how much fun they're having. You're seeing them all over the country. These great Rad Power e-bikes are so fun. They can go up to 20 miles a gallon with zero
20
pedaling.
Miles a gallon?
20 miles per hour. They can go 20 to 40 miles on a single charge and up to 20 miles per hour. That is great with zero pedaling. You can also use pedal assist. So you pedal, it helps you out a little bit. You got different levels that'll assist. They're really neat. They all have 750 watts of power, which is the most powerful e-bike you can get while maintaining a street legal status, meaning you don't have to have a special license. You can ride it anywhere. Anywhere you ride a bicycle, you can ride one of these. They are so much fun. They have four different models. All of them can be shipped to you in a real easy, in a box, free shipping. Doesn't cost you a cent. Comes to you, and even I can put them together. It only takes you about 5 minutes to put them together. And then if you want even a special discount when you buy at radpowerbikes.com, use the promo code ROADTREKKING, and they will give you an additional $75 off the price. So you got to check them out. You'll see them at campgrounds all this summer. More and more people getting e-bikes. They're so much fun. And the thing about Rad Power Bikes is they are a direct-to-consumer manufacturer. In other words, there's no retail chain that raises the price. They're consumer direct. You get a premium electric bike without those huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers. Many times, Rad Power bikes are priced at less than half that of comparable bikes. You check them out. Tell them you heard about it. Use our coupon code ROADTREKKING for $75 off plus free shipping. RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jen. I just wondered if you could send me a contact for mobile RV repairs. We are kind of stuck on the road and would like a mechanic to help us out if they can. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Yvonne. That was Yvonne. Thank you, Yvonne. The problem was you didn't give us the phone number. I had no way to reach you. I don't know where you are. So, however, if you're listening to this or anyone else, we're big fans of mobile RV techs.
They're available. They're out there. Just
ask. If you're at an RV park, ask any park. They have them. They all, if you look around, they usually have a couple of them that they can recommend. If you're traveling, I would get on the phone and call the nearest RV campground and say, hey, I need a mobile RV tech. And they'll just say, yeah, call Dave, Dave's RV service or whatever it is. They're usually all advertised. You can search Google, just Google mobile RV service in whatever city you happen to be need. Almost every city has them. We have found these people to be incredible. If you try to get service at a dealership, especially now during the summer travel season, odds are they're going to tell you it's a 2 to 3 week wait. I mean, they're taking care of their own customers. It is a seasonal business, so they're busy. But if you call an RV service tech, chances are, whatever your issue is, they've dealt with it many times and they can fix it. They usually come directly to you wherever you are. We have had, we've used them twice and both times have had just really, really great service with them. Some of them will even wash your rig for you too. I don't know where you are, Yvonne. I hope you did find one. Please, if you're listening to this, tell us what happened. Share your experience.
I thought about you saying call RV parks. Lots of times you call an RV park and nobody answers.
Yeah.
So well, you have to have patience.
Yeah, you might have to call a couple of times because they, you know, it's got to be business times and you don't want when they're checking somebody in. But that's the first place I always ask is an RV park or I look there or I Google, you know, the community and look up RV techs and stuff like that. So good luck to you, Yvonne. Sharon sends us in a question.
Can you use a regular metal roasting pan to roast vegetables in a high point microwave?
Okay, the high point microwave is usually a convection oven high microwave combination. I suppose there are, if it's just microwave and that's what you ask about, the answer is no. No. Never use metal cookware in a microwave. The metal doesn't allow those microwaves to penetrate and the food won't be cooked. But more importantly, and safety-wise, the metal could cause arcing in the oven. Now, microwave convection ovens are very common and High Point makes one that's in many RVs. You can, if you're using the convection oven part, you can use metal, you can use foil, but only for convection cooking. So make sure you know how to use convection cooking. That's okay. Make sure it's used for convection cooking, not microwave. But you cannot use and you should not use metal cookware in a microwave.
That terrifies me.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid I'm going to use it wrong and it's going to explode or something.
Yeah, I can see when it's, you know, it could be both, you know, because it's not good to use metal in a microwave.
You can't.
Yeah. So a lot of people are very frightened by the convection. We have a video on the channel where Mary Jane Curry did a video about convection cooking and how, you know, I mean, she makes awesome things. Hey, hope maybe she will get some stuff at Glacier. She's going to be there. But she makes awesome stuff in the convection oven. And, you know, a lot of people just need to know how to do it. So we have a video up about the convection oven and you can just search for that. Look at our how-to videos on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. Okay, let's see. Here's a new one from a brand new RVer.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. just wanted to tell you both how much I love all that you guys are doing to promote the Class B lifestyle. You both are a big factor in my decision to purchase my Simplicity SRT, which I am loving so far. But I do have a question about booking RV sites. I'm not quite to the point of being ready to boondock just yet, being new to this lifestyle. But I am wondering about how much do I need to plan ahead for RV sites? Typically in my vacations, I plan out, you know, I book a hotel room each night, but with not knowing how long I'm going to be driving each day, I wasn't sure what people typically do with planning out and booking RV sites each night. Do you need to book far in advance? Can you book the day of your travels? Are there typically spots out there, especially during the busy summer months? I guess my fear is being a solo traveler, just kind of being out there on my own and then trying to find a place to camp out for the night and maybe not being able to find something available. So wondering what people do with that and how planful I need to be. Again, thanks for all you guys do. All your information is super helpful, and I appreciate all the hard work that you put into all your different means of communication. Thanks a bunch. Bye.
Well, I think it's safe to say holiday weekends, summer, popular areas, you're going to have trouble getting a site and a campground. So I would try to book ahead with that or give some thought to it. Try to plan it out. You have a little better luck in off season, you know, fall. And of course, it depends on where you're going. If you're going to Florida, then it's all booked up in the summer. It depends on where you're going.
And during the week is, you know, from Sunday night through Thursday morning is usually a little easier to find a place too.
You have trouble getting a hotel room on Friday and Saturday nights in most areas. There aren't any, and you can't even park your rig in the hotel parking lot because there isn't room.
Now, so you'd say for how, you know, plan ahead. Yeah, you want to look at your route and you want to do a little research on your route to see, well, where would I like to stay? You know, this is on a lake and this campground is here. And then, you know, plan out how many miles you're going to drive that day, 330 or whatever your goal is. And then get your reservations the day before. A couple days before is usually better than the day of. As Jennifer said a minute ago, a lot of times you'll call an RV campground and there's nobody answering, just a machine. So you have to leave a message. And meanwhile, you're driving down the road. It can be very frustrating. Eventually, once you get comfortable with it, you'll learn about boondocking and everything from, you know, Cracker Barrel parking lots to Walmarts and stuff like that and national forests. But I can understand your concern right now. And I guess our advice to you would be, you know, try and get reservations. You got to plan out a route, look for the places you want, but as far in advance as you can. If you're unsure and you like to travel serendipity like ours, you know, the day of your travels is always, you want to have a plan A and a plan B. So it's very hard. That's our topic in a couple minutes about campgrounds. And there's going to be a lot of new campgrounds, awesome new campgrounds, big campgrounds. But, you know, it's going to take a while for all that to catch up with the demand. Hey, we got an email. I want to just go read this email and we'll share this. Hi, we were in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan on a gravel road and our RV started shaking so bad in the front end, we had to go about 5 miles per hour max. Cars were whizzing past us. Anybody have this problem? Is it shocks, tie rods, ball joints? We don't expect to try any four-wheel drive roads, but we would like to be able to navigate the occasional gravel road. And that's from Stefan. Well, I guess I got to say RVs don't like washboard roads. And that's what happens on many gravel roads. They're kind of washboarding. And it's just the way the wheels are set. They really feel that washboard effect. And the other thing, and we just had somebody, so you just have to go slow. Just don't let the cars pass you. But
Let them pass. And
I assume your RV was okay once you got on pavement and it wasn't doing that. Now, we just had a story on, it was on our blog from Janet Arnold, who had a similar thing. She was in, I believe it was Nebraska, and was out, you know, in the back roads on a gravel road, and she suddenly, it just started, you know, shaking, and it was just really bad. And it turned out that they had recently tarred the road she was on, and her wheels, the rubber in her wheels, picked up all that tar, and then all of the stones and rocks on that road attached to that tar. And as she drove, it caused that horrible shaking. She ended up pulling over and having to take a knife, a kitchen knife, and go over each of the tires to kind of scrape out that tar. And once she got it off and drove at high speeds on a couple of interstate roads or two-lane, you know, paved roads, it all went away. But
so she was throwing stones at everybody as she drove down the road as they were flying off.
Yeah, that's the problem. You got to watch out for it. So there you go. I hope that kind of helped with your answer. Questions of the Week sponsored by Steinbring Motor Coach, one of Road Trek's newest dealers, and a third-generation family business in Minnesota's beautiful Chain of Lakes region, built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. Since 1917, the Steinbring family has been bringing you the best products and service within the transportation industry in and around Garfield, Minnesota, a couple hours west of the Twin Cities. The sales staff at Steinbring Motor Coach brings you decades of experience in the recreation vehicle industry. They're celebrating 100 years in business. They're a third-generation family business. They've been selling RVs since RVs started to get made, just about. They are named a Blue Ribbon dealer over and over again, top 50 dealer, high-quality service, high-quality sales, because they sell high-quality RVs. They specialize in the Newmar Class A motorhomes. And by the way, wait till you see the 2019 lineup. And the features that these beautiful Newmar Class A motorhomes have. You need to get a hold of the folks at Steinbring and have them bring you up to speed on what the Newmar Class A 2019 lineup as well is about. Besides the Class A's, they also sell Road Trek Class B's. They also have the Hymer line of Class B's. And they've got lots and lots of pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco, many others. So whatever it is you're looking for, Class A, Class B, Class C, diesel pusher, gas, toy hauler, make sure you check before you buy at Steinbring Motor Coach, award-winning sales, award-winning service. And please, by all means, tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast.
You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention,
and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog.
And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast.
Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
All right, as I mentioned at the top of the program, there is a lot of brand new RVers on the road. Record sales continuing every month. Thousands of new RVers are going out there, and they're finding frustration that there just are not enough campsites to keep pace with the growth in RV sales, that you got to get reservations far in advance. You get there, they're all filled up. And then sometimes they'll find an opening and they'll find that the campground is poorly maintained, poorly kept up. It's kind of the hidden scandal of the RV lifestyle is the decrepit condition of many campgrounds and the fact that there just aren't enough campsites available to meet the needs. Well, that is about to change as across North America, developers have noticed how many of these people are hungry for recreational space for their vehicles. And so developers all across North America are building out new, modern, state-of-the-art campgrounds that are sometimes resembling those all-inclusive vacation spots on a Caribbean island more than they do the traditional empty field with an electric pedestal that you see so many places. In this week's podcast, we're going to talk to one of those developers who will tell us about the upcoming boom in RV resorts. Our guest is Todd Burbage. He is a real estate developer who specializes in commercial and hospitality products that operate along the East Coast in Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Maine, New Jersey, North Carolina. Todd is the head of Blue Water Development, which is one of a number of companies throughout North America that recognizes the need for more high-quality campgrounds and is working to meet it. Blue Water's diverse portfolio includes 5 luxury RV resort properties, the resort at Macy's Landing in Millsboro, Delaware. They've got an island KOA resort in Virginia. They got Cape Charles, Chesapeake Bay KOA in Cape Charles, Virginia, Flat Rock Bridge Family Campground in Lebanon, Maine, and Hampton Lodge Campground in Coinjock, North Carolina. All of these luxury campgrounds have one major thing in common: sophisticated designs, superior amenities. So I invited Todd to come on the program and to help us to understand what goes into making a modern campground. And it is much more than you'd think. Well, joining us now is Todd Burdidge from Blue Water Development. And Todd, thank you for making some time for us today and telling us about this coming campground boom. Things are changing out there in the recreation vehicle associated industries like campgrounds. What's happening?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you having us on today. I can tell you the campground industry is a growing industry. We're excited to be a part of it, and things are dramatically changing. You know, it's growing from a mom-and-pop bifurcated segmented industry into something that's more mainstream. People have higher expectations of the quality of the campgrounds that are out there, and Blue Water, I think, is leading the way in transforming this. And specifically, what we've done is we look at some of the more mature hospitality industries. We look at almost the cruise line industry or Sandals Resorts down in the Caribbean. And what we want to do is provide these family-friendly experiences that last a lifetime. And it's more about client attention. And it's about making sure that whatever the client wants comes first. No. And I think that in the past, it's been a little bit more fragmented, a little less consumer-driven, and that's what we're doing.
What goes into making a modern campground today? How long is that process? Walk us through a little bit. It's a lot more involved now than putting up a couple of electrical pedestals in a field, which is the state of many of our campgrounds today. Talk us, help us understand how much of that is it, what's involved in that.
Almost identical to building a first class residential subdivision, in that you have paved roads, 50 amp service, which a house has 100 amp service, but multiple 50 amp services in a line. You have state of the art stormwater management systems. You have sewer, water, electric, CATV, cable, internet, everything that you would find in a modern residential community is what you find today in the campgrounds. And so, frankly, the cost of creating a campground is identical to the cost of a residential community. The difference is that a campground is actually more expensive, in that we are amenitizing this community as much as you possibly can. So we put in multiple pools, you put in multiple bathhouses, every site has water, sewer, electric, cable, TV, you put in game rooms, you put in all the things that you could possibly have that the consumer wants. And that's what it's all about. It's about meeting the expectations of the consumer, completely different than what it used to be, which was mom and pop used to live on a farm. Some people liked to camp on the lake. They put some power there. It cost a few thousand dollars, and that was the end of camping. Today, it's modern. It's unique. It's different. And you try to fulfill everybody's expectations, and that's what we do. And when I say fulfill expectations, I'm talking everything from toddlers all the way up to the grandparents and everybody in between that goes on a family vacation. And that's what we do.
Let's talk about your company, Blue Water Development, a little bit. What I found very interesting is that you guys have developed all sorts of golf resorts, water parks,
family amusement type gatherings. You're deeply in that hospitality industry. What convinced you to move into the campground industry?
Well, I very much appreciate that. You know, what happened, we got into the camping industry by accident. But what wasn't an accident was that the patriarch to the whole company, his name's Jack Burbage, my father, his drive and his desire is to do everything first class. And it doesn't matter what component or what aspect of anything he does isn't first class. He wants the bathrooms to be first class. He wants the water parks to be first class. He wants to be the absolute best in class. And so when you have that desire, when you have that corporate culture, when it's pervasive throughout every single person that works within the that's part of the Blue Water family, it's contagious. And so we do everything we possibly can to make sure that every guest we have is happy.
You guys have five, I guess we would call them luxury RV resort properties. You're attuned now, you're well vested into this campground development industry. Is this a trend that is happening across the country? Are you seeing other development companies looking at the RV industry and the RV boom and saying, hey, there's a market here? Are we going to see more high-end RV developments out there for RVers who want a place to stay?
Yes, I mean, I think there absolutely is a big push for higher end. I think it's going to become more institutionalized. I think that people are recognizing that it's a growing industry. It's an industry that is actually appealing to more millennials. And so I think it's an industry that has nothing but a lot of upside potential and a lot of growth to it. And so naturally, when that's recognized, larger businesses are going to move in. And I think across the whole board, it's going to make the industry better. So I always use the analogy that a rising tide raises all ships. And I think that the more professional that the industry becomes, the better it's going to become, the more successful it's going to become, the higher expectations of our ownerships across the board is going to become. And we're really excited about the industry. We're happy to be a part of it. We want to be an industry leader if we can. We want to provide the best services we can to all of our clients and our customers. And we want people to feel like they're a part of the Blue Water family. And it's going to grow across the country. And we're excited about it.
What are the amenities that are most requested by your customers? What do they want that they're not finding, you know, in the traditional campground? You mentioned internet. We might start with that. You know, every campground I have ever been in, the internet connection is only as good as how many campers are there. And if it's crowded, there's a terrible connection. For example, how will you solve that problem?
So we've hired, and listen, you're talking to a guy who leans on his 9-year-old to turn on his iPad. But what I do is recognize our shortcomings. We hire the greatest and the best providers, internet providers we can possibly find. And they provide some of the most amazing internet connection that you can provide at any campground. And so when you go to some of ours, we try to make them less obtrusive than they are. But our campgrounds, if it's a 300 site campground, it may have 80 Wi-Fi poles throughout the campground. We try to make them less obtrusive than they really are, and they kind of blend in. But even more than that, it's just about everything. And I'll tell you, what we try to do is the most important thing that we can ever do and provide to our people is a clean, safe campground. And I think sometimes in the industry, mom and pops lose that foresight because it's not something that's easy to maintain, and it's not something that it is something that takes a lot of effort. And so for us, the most important thing is a safe, clean campground. The other most important thing to us is that everything's on the water. So we always provide some sort of water aspect to every single property we have. Now, that could be a river, it could be a bayfront, it could be oceanfront, it could be whatever it is. But people want a vacation on the water. And that doesn't matter if it's in the mountain, on a river, or if it means on a beach in a bay. And the other thing that we're migrating towards a lot is the water parks. Because if the little kids aren't happy, nobody's happy. And every little fella, little lady in the world loves water parks. And so we've started providing these amenities to make sure that across the full spectrum of the family, they're happy. It's about providing experiences and memorable family outings that people just say, when the minute they leave, we want them to rebook because they say, this is the best place in the world. We can't get this anyplace else. This is where we want to be time and time and time again.
When I survey our readership or our listeners, about 70% of them say they travel by RV because they want to travel with their pets. How much do you take into consideration people traveling with pets at your RV resorts?
So you're talking to a guy who has five dogs. If you go to Blue Water, BWDC.com, you'll see he's famous. His name's Willis Burbage. Pets are so important to me, frankly. In order of importance, it's Willis, my family, and then Blue Water. So we love pets. It's an integral part of it. We actually have in all of our camp stores now, it's called Willis's Corner. We embrace them. We want you to bring them. They're part of the extended family. I can't tell you how much pets and our four-legged friends are important to the entire Blue Water family. Willis is on our website right now.
So do you have off-leash areas for the dogs in these parks?
Oh, we have amazing off-leash areas. We have some of the biggest doggy parks you can possibly imagine. We provide different ingress and egress for the dogs. We provide water stations. Some of our parks actually have dog washing stations. I mean, the family pet is as important as any other family member, and we recognize it, and we love it, and we embrace it, and we want you to bring them.
How about workout areas, exercise facilities for humans? That's something that we hear a lot of people say, boy, it'd be nice if I could work out in the park, you know, like you can in a hotel or in a high-end resort. Are you seeing a need for those in RV resorts?
Well, I don't know how high the demand is, but we provide them in every single facility that we have. And the reason that is just as you say, again, no matter what somebody wants, for us to provide a workout facility, a gymnasium, whatever they want, we try to provide to them. But even more importantly, what Blue Water does is we go out into the community and try to connect our campground community to the larger community at large. And so we connect our guests with cycling businesses, kayak businesses, whitewater rafting businesses, boogie board businesses, surfboard businesses, parasail businesses, jets. We want people to get out and recreate and do whatever they want. And we provide all these outlets to them. And it's an important component of what we have at every single campground we own.
Well, we will be out east this summer in our travels. I will find one or two of your resorts. I look forward to actually visiting them. I think that it's exciting to see professionalism and quality become watchwords for the development of RV resorts. The phrase RV campgrounds almost doesn't do it justice anymore. But Todd Burbage, thank you for making time and getting us excited about the coming boom in RV resorts. Appreciate having you on the program.
Mike, I can't thank you enough for having us. We look forward to seeing you in the coming months, and we hope that everybody who comes to Blue Water Developments and campgrounds, RV resorts, has just the best experience. We promise you, from the top to the bottom, that everybody will do everything we can to make sure you have a great experience, no matter who you are.
Thank you, Todd. All right, the interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used road track motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country.
We've been to Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida, and we've come away, every time we've been there, very impressed. First of all, they have, I am sure, the largest selection of used Class B RVs that you'll find anywhere in North America. I don't care what brand you're looking for, they probably have it. If it's a Class B, they've got used Class B road treks, pleasure ways, Winnebagos, leisure travel vans, and more. I know you're not going to find a wider selection of used Class Bs. And here's the other thing that impressed us about Sunshine State RVs. Every RV they sell goes through this very thorough 172-point inspection program. They make sure that all the mechanical systems, all the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives just the way it should. They go over all the interior components just as entirely as the outside. Every component is turned on and tested. They make sure it works. All of their RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks and replace any silicone caulking. Now, I've talked about the used Class B RVs. They also sell brand new RVs from Road Trek, from Coachmen, from a couple of other vendors out there as well, from RV manufacturers. So you need to go to their website. SunshineStateRVs.com is their website. Tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
All right, time to check in with our pal from Verizon Wireless, Steve Van Dinter.
Hi there, Mike. Well, living life on the road certainly has its perks, getting to see the countryside, meeting new people, and enjoying every kind of food imaginable. And for those working remotely from their RVs, having a mobile office solution that's a joy to use makes a big difference. Or just having a device that's comfortable to use while paying bills, writing emails, and doing research. So let me introduce you to a device you've probably never heard of. It's called the Google Pixelbook. And it's a laptop that runs on an efficient and easy-to-use operating system called Chrome OS. Now, there are many, many things I like about this laptop. First, it's easy to carry around. While the screen itself is a decent size, 12.3 inches, it's only 4/10 of an inch thick. It lasts a long time on battery, I'm talking up to 10 hours, and it can be charged by using your phone's USB-C charging cable. Next, the form factor. It can be used as a laptop with an attached keyboard that's one of the best I've ever used, or you can bend it into a tent and watch streaming videos like Netflix. And finally, you can fold it completely over and use as a tablet. It also looks really nice, and it feels durable. Well, now onto Chrome OS. If you're like me and hate waiting for a device to turn on, you're going to love Chrome OS. It boots up in less than 10 seconds, and because of how it's built, will never slow down over time. It also has access to the Google Play Store, meaning you can download apps to it like you would your phone. And it's the first laptop with the Google Assistant built in, so getting answers to your questions is as easy as talking to your Google Home. And when it comes to connectivity, if you've got a Google Pixel phone, it can use instant tethering. This lets the Pixelbook share your phone's data connection without needing to even touch your phone. Or you can connect to any Wi-Fi hotspot. And lastly, if you're artistic or prefer to handwrite notes, you can use the Pixelbook Pen. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. They're the official wireless providers for the RV podcast. When we're out there on the road, that's how we connect. That's how we send in our videos, our podcasts. When Verizon says better matters, they mean it. Verizon ranks highest in all the leading network studies year after year, multiple tests that measure network quality performance in the United States, they come out on top every year. Can your network say that? If you are stuck on the wrong network, it's time to head over to Verizon and get unstuck.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, we got a couple, three things for you that are coming up. First of all, this coming weekend, June 7th through the 10th, 2018, in Florida, at the Florida State Fairgrounds, it's the Tampa Bay Summer RV Show there. This is the summer equivalent of their great big RV Super Show that they have every January. This one, June 7th through the 10th. Coming up June 18th through the 22nd, it is the sold-out road trekking photo safari at Glacier National Park. Jennifer and I will be there. We will be at the Chewing Blackbones RV Resort in Babb, Montana. That is on the eastern part of Glacier National Park, not far from the Many Glaciers entrance to the park. That's June 18th through the 22nd. June 25th through the 29th in Lebanon, Texas, not too far from Nashville. It's Passport America's Music City USA Mega Rally. That's Passport America, June 25th through the 29th at the Wilson County Fairgrounds in Lebanon, Texas.